The world is paying a deadly price for Obama's foreign policy legacy. Commentary. If a belligerent state launched 185 explosive drones, 36 cruise missiles, and 110 surface-to-surface missiles from three fronts against civilian targets within the United States, would President Joe Biden call it a win? Would the president tell us that the best thing we can do now is show restraint? What if that same terror state's proxy armies had recently helped murder, rape, and kidnap more than 1,000 American men, women, and children? What if this terror state were trying to obtain nuclear weapons so it could continue to agitate without any consequences? This is what Biden and the Barack Obama acolytes, Iranian dupes, and Israel antagonists he's surrounded himself with demand of the Jewish state. And by Iranian dupes, I don't only mean the Jake Sullivans and Antony Blinkens of the world who work to elevate the mullahs over Sunni allies and the Israelis, or even a Hamas bestie like Rob Malley or Israel hater like Mar Bitar. I mean assets of the Islamic State who promised the Iranian government to help out in any way possible. Their worldview is a cancer that's metastasized within the Democratic Party. To these people, Israel will always be the villain. And if the Iranian regime's murder of more than 600 American servicemen couldn't cool that bromance, 1,200 dead Jews certainly aren't going to do the trick. The Trump administration undercut Palestinian terror efforts, stifled Iranian ambitions, and created space for the Gulf states and Israel to enhance ties. President Biden immediately reversed those gains, reverting to Obama-era Iranian boosterism. We're now experiencing the consequences of pacifying Islamic ideologues. President Obama might have sent the mullahs pallets of cash in the middle of the night, but the Biden administration openly subsidized the Revolutionary Guard with a $6 billion ransom payment, at least $25 billion in sanction relief, including $10 billion via a waiver, and so on. Let's also remember that one of Biden's first foreign policy decisions was to overturn Trump-era policy by releasing millions to Gaza that would be sifted off by Hamas, releasing funding to Hamas-allied United Nations Relief and Works Agency, and removing the Iranian-backed Houthis from the terror list. It should be mind-boggling that President Biden likely knew Iran was moving forward with its attack, but still gave his goofy and impotent don't when asked about it by the press. Indeed, the Biden administration's position seems to be that Israeli military and defense forces exist to allow Iran to have a hissy fit and save face. The Iranian attack is only symbolic because it failed. Just because you shoot at someone and miss doesn't mean you're not trying to kill them. Yes, the Iranians were embarrassed. But they almost surely view this as a win. And they also crossed a red line by firing on Israel from their own territory. Yet Israel is apparently the only nation on earth that is permitted to fully defend itself only if its enemies succeed. Every conflict against Israel unfurls the same way: its enemies threaten or attack the country. Israel responds and heads for a victory. Only then does the world demand restraint. Finally, the antagonists demand Israel rewind history to a more convenient spot. Those, for instance, who contend that Israel started the conflict when it hit a diplomatic mission in Syria last week are engaged in restarting the historical clock when it suits them. There are no Iranian diplomatic missions in Syria. There are buildings where Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps terror leaders coordinate attacks on civilians against Arabs as well as Jews. Mohammad Reza Zahidi, the general Israel killed last week, helped plan the barbarism of October 7. Recall that the United States atomized Qasem Soleimani at a neutral nation's airport. Though, of course, Abamates protested that killing as well. Now it is something of a cliché to contend that Israel must be right 100% of the time, while its enemies only need to be right once. It also happens to be true. Israel, a country the size of New Jersey with a dense population area, relies on deterrence and preemption. Democrats blamed their strawman, Benjamin Netanyahu, not Hamas or Iran, for trying to drag the world into war. The New York Times' Tom Friedman, perhaps the wrongest person ever to tread on this planet, theorized that the Prime Minister wanted a war to shore up his own crumbling political base. Axios reports that Netanyahu was reluctant to strike back, while his cabinet wanted to move immediately. The war hawk perception of him is a myth, created by the left because of the Prime Minister's open opposition to Obama's mullah bootlicking. We have no idea what Israel will do. Maybe caution is the best policy. The notion that the Jewish state simply lashes out in revenge and doesn't rationally consider all its options is preposterous. Whatever happens, it should be on Israel's terms, not Iran's. Despite what Obama's retreads demand,